ready?
Go! ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Based on all of that, Mr. Simpson, I do vote to grant parole ineligible, and that will be this very.
Thank you.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Is Nicholas doing what he does best and pulls the audio from the parole hearing? OJ is free.
Hey, who was that was clapping? Because that's ridiculous.
I think it was his daughter was in the courtroom.
His daughter was in the courtroom, but it doesn't show who was clapping. It could be...
So it wasn't him?
No, it wasn't him, no.
Okay.
By the way, and I know we're all on social media, but if I see the quote, the juice is loose, one more time, in the last 10 minutes, I've seen it 25 times, you're not that creative.
Don't search O.J. Simpson in the search box, in the Twitter search box, because that's all you're going to get.
Good juice Lord. Is loose. Leave the rhyming to me.
Okay? Everyone's a comedian.
Oh, well, no, not everyone. Okay. Barry?
Yeah, sorry, my bad. I was trying to catch up on the Twitters just to see who was in there.
The juice
being...
is loose.
Oh, my goodness. Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said he had an ex-girlfriend, because we were talking about how I call my wife boo-boo, but that's also another word. He said he had the ex-girl get mad at him because he called her bae, and evidently in Thai that means crap or the S-word. So he was calling her bae, and she got upset, which is A, hilarious, and B, no grown-ass man should be using the word bae. I'm sorry. Sorry, okay. Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman, but that's not... I'm going to have to ask you to turn in your man card. We're going to have to put a punch on there. You get 5 punches, and you got to turn in your card. You got me tearing up with the Linkin Park. This is a text, Nick. You got me tearing up with the Linkin Park. I try so hard not to cry, but in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Wow. Too soon.
Dr. Dre on 290 had a pretty interesting topic, really. He said, right now I'm starting Peacock as the third starter in front of Fires and Morton. So I ask you, Joel, who would be your number 3 if the Astros don't make a move? Are you going with Morton? Are you going with Fires? Are you going with Peacock?
I'm going with Peacock.
Or are you going McHugh?
With Peacock. I am going with Peacock because I haven't seen Colin McHugh yet. And I'm interested to see Colin McHugh because velocity is going to mean a lot, too. Not that he's ever been overpowering, but when he got dead arm and he already wasn't overpowering, that really worried me. And he's got to really pinpoint his control. So I'll leave the prerequisite that I want to see Colin McHugh a few times. But why would you go against Brad Peacock? You look at his last 2 months and you look at what he's been able to put together time in, time out consistently. And you look at Morton had a rough outing the last time out and doesn't look quite as sharp as he did early this season. And Fires, yes, he's finding it again. And he's a nice guy to have coming out of the pen, like you had mentioned as well, for long relief. But in my mind, it's Peacock. I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, so here's a thought, and it's not, I'm not choosing yet, but here's the thing. So if you, I mean, Fires is a starter, and I don't think, I was trying to see, he hasn't even made a bullpen appearance. Remember, he got relegated to the bullpen, and then that's when there was the injury. So he never really even pitched out of the pen. So as a starter, if you look at his monthly breakdown, okay, his batting average against has gone down every month since April. So he had a 295, 271, 189. It's 183 this month already. His ERA obviously has gone down significantly. He had that 512 ERA at the beginning of the year, and then at 486 in May, 232 and 265. So he's getting a lot better, right? You look at Brad Peacock, and it's kind of the opposite. So his batting average against started off at 105. That's because he was pitching out of the pen. In May, it was 163. That was a split month of both starts and pin work. And then in June and July, it's gone up to 213 and 211 because he's a starter. His ERA is the same thing, 079, 321, 333. This month, though, he's got a 189. So he's doing a little better this month. I say all that to say this. Peacock has pitched out of the pen already, and you know that, and you know that he pitched really well in that role. So I kind of like having the option of Devinsky and Peacock that you can rotate night in and night out, so you don't have to worry about, well, I can't use Devinsky. If I burn him here, I can't pitch him tomorrow if Peacock is that option. But if Peacock is starting for you, it's not. And what do you do with Mike Fiers? If Mike Fiers isn't in the pen that he hasn't pitched in all year, then he's basically not getting used. So if you put Mike Fiers as your number three and put Brad Peacock as middle relief, you have the opportunity to use both of those arms in a game. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It doesn't. It still doesn't change my thought process on a third starter. But yeah, it absolutely. Look, it's that would be another luxury to have, and it makes that decision going that route a lot easier. If everybody, of course, the health concerns have to come back and be strong. Keuchel and McCullers has to get back in a groove again. But if McHugh could come back, if Morton gets back into just one more guy. To allow you the luxury of being able to put both those guys in the pen, sure, it's fantastic. I still worry about a left-handed arm. I really do. I want, whether it's a specialist or a lefty that can come in and give you an inning or two, I do worry about the bullpen. I love the long relief options. I worry about Tony Sipp more and more every day. But yeah, in terms of my decision on the third starter, though, I still am going to stick with Peacock because overall, I know he's got a lot of run support lately, too. I just like the fact that he can strike a guy out when he needs to, and he seems to just have the kind of calm demeanor, but that go-getter mentality of, I'm not backing down to anybody, and I'm going to throw my stuff, and I believe in it.
Okay. I mean, I you can't argue with that. I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. By saying you're going to go with Brad Peacock, I totally get it. That totally makes sense. I'm just looking at from
so where are you going to go?
I think I'm going to start Fiers and leave Peacock in the pen. And
really?
The reason is, yeah, because I worry about Fiers coming out of the pen. Here's the thing you don't think about. Starters and relievers are different. If you even talk to Francis Martez and you hear how when he started in the pen versus getting to make his first start, it was different for him. It felt different.
Sure.
There's a different regiment. There's a different way you get ready and prepare, and that throws them off. And he even mentioned it. Yeah, it was weird. It kind of threw me off on how I normally prepare. I'm not used to that. So with Fiers being a starter, in the playoffs, I don't want to be like, okay, here's a new routine. You have no idea when you're going to pitch. You got to be ready every day. You know, as Peacock has already done that this year, so that makes me feel more comfortable. And like I said, I know I get to use both of those arms. If Fiers is even remotely doesn't have it within the first two innings, Brad Peacock comes in the game. So it's almost like he did start. You know what I mean? He
gets to be in that game. But the other thing is, you're going to need long relief if you start Fiers, because lately he starts to really peter out in the fifth, and is going to really.
Well, Peacock does too, right? I mean, he finally made it to the seventh.
Yeah, his third time around for both guys. Either way, you're going to need long relief. Longer, I think, with Fiers. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's not ideal again. But that if faced with that decision, I'm going to go with Peacock.
Okay.
You're going Fiers. Nick, yeah, where are you going? Nick, where are you going?
Oh, yeah. You always turn to the baseball expert. I was wondering when you guys were going to toss to me. Because if anybody's going to answer fantasy baseball questions, it's producer Nick.
Nick just said J.R. Richard, hands down.
Yeah, I'm going Nolan Ryan. What are you guys doing, you idiots?
Tim Tebow, isn't he?
Ryan's going to go to – he's going to be my one. So I think he's going to go with JR. All right, okay. We'll continue to roll on. We've got lots to get to. By the way, in 1976, Hank Aaron in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, connected on his 755th and final home run off of Dick Drago at County Stadium. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, I wish his name was Dick Dragon. That would be great.
I bet you he does too. All right. We'll be back with a whole lot more of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, I wanted to ask you something. I brought up the other day that CNN special, The History of Comedy.
Right.
And I wanted to get your perspective because obviously it's a different perspective than just the common folk. But in thinking about, in watching that series and seeing all the great comedians, and I know everybody has their own personal opinion, but Nick and I were talking about this too, and I was thinking about, like, from me, because obviously generationally and otherwise, I didn't see a lot of the early comedians, but people were kicking around, well, who's your favorite comedian or two of all time? And I was like, wow. You know, because I think about people that made me laugh out loud. And I was interested to get your perspective as well because, you know, I thought about it. And right off the top, my two answers were Eddie Murphy and Robin Williams. Because okay. of the fact that they always made me laugh out loud, but they had such talent across the board. Like, their stand-ups were funny, but they could do a movie and they were funny. And they could do a sitcom in the case of both of them and they were funny. And so the overall, you know, you hear about a five-tool player, but I just thought those two guys, for everything they brought to the table, and I know some people will say Chappelle and some people will say Richard Pryor, but that was my answer, and I was curious what yours was just because of the fact that you're in the business.
Yeah, I hate to say this in a way, but it's the truth. When I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that I watched Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. And Bill Cosby is the reason I'm doing comedy now. And it's, you know, it has nothing to do with what he's done
right.
recently, because obviously as 8 years old, I didn't know that. No one did. But at the time, even then and coming up, I mean, he made me legitimately laugh. Even as an 8 year old, I got how good he was from watching Bill Cosby himself. And I memorized it, and then I would do it for my family. And that's when I knew I wanted to be a comic. And so for me, he's always going to be my number one. I don't think I would be doing comedy if it wasn't for him.
Okay.
So you guys can blame him for that. But he's my number one. But, dude, it's honestly, I hate to say this because it's such a kind, it's kind of a cliche, but there are so many for me because they do different things. If I wasn't a comic, I might have one or two favorites, but I look at things differently now. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate like guys like Bill Burr for what he does, but I appreciate Louis C.K. for the amount of material he can pump out, and you know, Chappelle obviously for what he does and Pryor and all that. But I mean, just the one guy, Bill Cosby, that would be
interesting.
One guy for
and
sure.
That's why I wanted your perspective. I mean simply because of the fact that I knew it would be from a much more knowledgeable place in terms of knowing everything from delivery and material, like you said, and all those different factors. And then just me as just the common guy just saying those two people really made me laugh out loud. Nick, you got.
Here's the thing. Here's the beautiful thing about what Bill Cosby does. Now, and think about this. You like Eddie Murphy, and you loved Eddie Murphy. You loved Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. Two very high energy guys, right? Like those guys. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot and that is that in your mind as a fan watching that equates to funny. That energy. There's a saying. I mean, a lot of times you'll see comics that are high energy, but they're not that funny. But you still really enjoy the show. You just have a good time watching them because of the energy. Bill Cosby sat. He sat in a chair and told stories and murdered rooms. I mean, like just killed audiences without ever really getting up or doing anything. And that's a special skill. Like, you've got to be really good. When you, like, guys like Stephen Wright and Mitch Hedberg, these low-energy comics that do really well, that's special.
Stephen Wright was
tough
funny.
To do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember he told the joke about giving the fish a break and putting the fishbowl on the turntable of a stereo system just so that the water could swim around the fish. And he said it at just a slow pace. But when it sunk in, you were like, that's pretty damn funny.
I'm kind of with you, though,
I tell you
Joel.
What, as,
I, like, I wouldn't be able to break it down like Barry,
yeah,
where he's taking it 10 steps further than we are.
Right.
You know, he's looking at delivery and pauses and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's guys that I enjoyed growing up, but a lot of the guys that I enjoyed, I wouldn't find them funny now. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like really?
Martin Lawrence, I don't know if he would be a good stand-up comic anymore. You know what I mean? But back in the day.
He recently came out with a special. It was all right.
Back in the day, I enjoyed him a lot. But
like my old man loved George Carlin. And I could sit there and listen to George Carlin, too. Some of his stuff is just genius. But isn't DeBerry, wouldn't he be more considered a laid-back? I mean, yeah, he hit some of his gestures and things like that. But he wasn't really high energy. Was he?
He wasn't high energy, but he was animated. I mean, he was standing up. He was moving around. You know, he would do a really long bit and bow, and it was kind of a funny bow, and it was a kind of a, you know, a punctuation mark on the bit. When you see guys that just sit and tell jokes, it's a whole different dynamic, man.
I was always a fan of Cosby just because of the fact that I don't think a lot of people realized how many voices he did on Fat Albert.
Oh, yeah. He did most of them.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to be honest, I respect what Carlin did, but Carlin never really made me laugh out loud. I thought he was funny, and I thought he had smart stuff, but I never laughed out loud at him. It's funny because I love Cosby. He's what made me want to do comedy. But at the same time, like, some of my just favorite comics to sit down and watch nowadays are guys like Mike Epps. And like you said, Nick, like Martin, because Martin is a physical comic. He's very animated, running up and down the stage. And
facial,
I mean, like, when he did that bit with the fly where he was like, yay! And like, dude, I just lose my mind over that stuff. But I grew up on Def Comedy Jam in high school. That was my favorite.
I saw Chappelle on Def
Comedy Jam. I was.
Yeah.
But like seeing Arnaz Jay on Def Comedy Jam and Chappelle and Martin hosted it and Billy D. Washington did Def Comedy Jam. I mean, dude, all that was what
I really
enjoyed.
I was just going to say, Billy D. did Def Comedy
Jam? That's awesome.
Yes, he did. He certainly did. So, but yeah, guys like that, man, that kind of over the top. That's why I like Burr, because he's not super animated, but he's loud and he says crazy stuff. And that's what I enjoy. Like, I'm not a smart comedian, and I don't like smart comedy. I like funny. I like crazy.
Nick said that,
which is weird because it's kind of the opposite of what they're right. Yeah, no one's ever going to accuse me of writing a smart joke. Never going to happen.
Never.
What about Joe Rogan? I mean, how do you feel? Don't you feel like he's like trying to be too articulate sometimes when he's doing his stand up? Or do you? Because I enjoy his podcast all day, but his stand up, I don't know. It's not my favorite.
All right, so I'm going to be honest, and don't get me wrong. If Joe Rogan came to town, and was like, hey, would you open for me? I would be elated.
Right.
But I don't laugh all the time when I listen to Joe Rogan. You know what I mean? There's some guys that make me laugh. What's weird, though, is there's some guys that used to make me laugh, and now that I understand, like, how they're doing it, I don't laugh. Like Gaffigan. I used to laugh all the time
at
Jim Gaffigan. Yep. And now that I understand the formula and I can see what's coming, it's not funny to him anymore. I don't enjoy it as much. But I'm not a big Rogan fan. I never have been.
Like, I go back to, like, and I was thinking about this on the way in. Eddie Murphy, because quite simply, I bought that album. I never would buy a comedic album. My dad would. My dad would buy Carlin. He would buy Mel Brooks. He would buy guys like that, and he would make the entire house listen to them, and he would laugh hysterically. But I bought Eddie Murphy, and I remember that. And I remember taping on cassette tapes a lot of his stand-ups before it actually got to the point where he was doing Raw, and he was doing, you know, the different long film deals. But that's why, to me, that left a mark. I was like, you know, what other time would I buy an album of a comedian instead of music? And it was Eddie Murphy.
Dude, Eddie's legit, man. I mean, Raw and, you know, Delirious?
Raw and Delirious, right. Yep. And both before that, it was Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy was the album, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't. It's so funny, though, when you go back and you look at him on Saturday Night Live and then his comedy and all that. And it's like you said, the movies, you know, like Boomerang, he's sophisticated Eddie Murphy. You know what I mean? And Saturday Night Live, it's completely different than the stage Eddie Murphy. He was more cool. Saturday Night Live, he was more silly. But that just shows you how versatile he was. I mean, he could play a bunch of different roles and do them well.
I was going to say, that's the other thing.
He goes down as one of the greatest of all time.
Look at the movies and look at Coming to America with all the different parts. Two guys played a majority of the role. Not, I wouldn't say all of them, like a majority, but a great deal of the roles in that film were Arsenio and Eddie Murphy playing all those different parts with just a ton of different makeup on.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, it's not just the playing the role, but it's the writing. Because that's the devil's in the details. You can have a bunch of dudes that are funny and all that, but if the writing isn't there, if the jokes, if the material isn't that great, then it doesn't work. And that's, I mean, he had a big hand in writing all that. Plus, you know, just the jokes, the material that he would write. So, yep, one of the best, no doubt. I mean, you can't go wrong picking him.
Is that velvet? So soft to the touch.
try the soup. Aha!
Yes. And then, which wasn't Eddie or Arsenio, but then the other classic is the boy good. Boy good. He good.
Right, yeah. Somebody texted the show and said, did OJ's kids stand up and say, thank goodness the guy who killed my mom is free? All right. That'll be enough of that, OU Mike.
Plus, guys, did you see that, too, when you said Bill Cosby killed it and was just murdering people? And then they said, are you sure you're not talking about OJ? Okay, those are going to happen all day now. So we consider that we will just expect more OJ jokes.
Somebody said Sinbad is underrated. I'm just reading the text. I'm not going to respond.
409?
No. It was the same guy that
you heard that,
Beaumont?
That was Joel who took that shot.
I just asked a question,
that was Joel
Nick.
Blake who took that shot,
I didn't bash anybody.
Beaumont.
I just asked a question.
Not Nick.
Hey, the same guy, though, Nick texted and said, my mic is, like, super loud. Do I sound loud?
Yeah, I think you were. I have to pod you down. I appreciate it. Not loud anymore, though.
You know what I appreciate?
I'm trying to, like...
I appreciate the fact that Infuse Energy is a locally owned and operated energy company in the Houston area owned by Josh Prestikoff. And the fact that Infuse Energy is completely and solely focused on making sure that they're 100% honest. They never screw you over, and they try to get you a plan that's tailor-made for your energy needs, whether it be for business or for your home usage. They're never going to screw you over to make a buck. They're always going to get you a human being on the phone. They are fantastic in the fact that from the time you call till the time you hang up, you are talking to a human being who is going to focus on your needs, your issues, your customer service problems, and making sure they fix them and take care of you the best that they can. If you don't believe me, check out their website, infuseenergy.com, or give them a call, 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit. And, of course, it's a Houston-owned and operated company that is just trying to make sure that you have an energy company that is hassle-free and always has your back. 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that helps decrease your carbon footprint. And, of course, on the bills, they always add a joke or two just to try and brighten your day. Check them out, infuseenergy.com or 844-INFUSE2. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the boys known as The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5 until 4 p.m. And Barry and Nick, I thought I was going to get I don't know, Barry, because you had the night off, I was going to say, you know, the other night when you got to watch the softcore Stallone porn, but you had to work last night, I thought you might have missed, like, round two, or you could have at least reviewed more somewhat suspect soft porn type behavior if you watched the USA El Salvador Gold Cup quarterfinal last night. Did you hear about this?
I did.
What
I did
the
indeed.
Hell? Josie Altidore, who's been on the U.S. national team for quite a while, was on the receiving end of biting and nipple twisting during the U.S.'s 2-0 win over El Salvador last night. And he handled it about as well as he could have. After he had his nipple twisted earlier in the match, Altidore was bitten on the shoulder, on the back shoulder, by El Salvador defender Henry Romero in the second half. I will tweet the video, but it's hard to believe that dudes pull this crap in soccer. But they do it.
Is it really? Is it that hard to believe?
It's easier to believe when they're floppers. Yeah, I mean, everybody looks like they got hit by a sniper if they just get like a brushed back with like an elbow. But the fact that these guys literally try and do things like that. I mean, I understand flopping, but seriously, you're going to give them a T-twister and you're going to bite them in the back during a soccer match? But
I like it.
Altidore's
get away with it.
But Josie Altidore's response was great after the game. He said, "My girl's mad at me. She's mad at me, and she's mad at Romero. She's like, only I can bite you. Only I can grab your nipples." Well played, sir. Well played.
That's funny. That's a whole bleep is what he's saying. That's funny.
But it is funny. No matter what part of their bodies that they get kicked in, or you know, they're always holding their knee. They can get hit in the ankle. They're on the floor holding their knee. They get hit in the calf. They're holding their knee.
Yeah. But seriously.
So true, Nick. So
I don't know why.
And one of the long-haired guys' hair could, like, Louis Scola hair. The hair could fly into their face, they're going to go down like someone just kicked them in the shins, and then you're right, they're going to grab their knee and start rolling around writhing in pain.
Yeah, they could forget which side it was, too, and they'll still hold their knee. They're like, oh, it's the right knee, my bad.
Yeah, they'll hurt their shoulder, but they'll limp off.
That's right.
Because it makes no sense. No sense. And by the way, I just wanted to point out that Patrick Rando on Twitter has changed his Twitter name to Studs Stunt Double. So
I saw that.
Props to you, sir, for keeping Stallone's softcore porn movie alive. Studs Stunt Double. We got some text. Can I read these texts?
Yep.
It kind of goes back to what we were talking about previously with the comedian. Somebody asked Barry, Gabriel Iglesias or Kevin Hart. Iglesias is a beast, but Kevin Hart, what he's doing is ridiculous. And he's funny. Have you guys seen that Real Hollywood Husbands or whatever? Real Husbands of Hollywood?
I have not.
No, I haven't either.
If you haven't watched it, you guys need to watch it. I didn't think I was going to like it, but the headliner in Wichita was like, no, you need to watch it. I'm not a Kevin Hart fan, but it's a really funny series. And it is. He made me sit down and watch a couple of them. Really funny. Tons of comics in it. J.B. Smoove is in it. A bunch of other dudes. But it's very funny. So give that a watch. But
that's an underrated dude, J.B. Smoove.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
He really is. Yep, I would agree. Somebody said Ron White, great storyteller. Absolutely. Ron White's hilarious. Thoughts on Foxworthy. What do you guys think about Foxworthy?
I know he was really hot for a while back there with Larry right. the Cable Guy. I've just never been a fan.
That's when I was watching it. When Larry the Cable Guy and those guys were popular, that's when I did the most watching of him. But most of the time I paid attention to Larry because I felt like he was the most popular of that group, him and Ron White.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, like mainstream comedy fans take Foxworthy for what it is. Like comedy nerds and some comics probably sit back and judge and we're like, oh, it's too gimmicky. It's too much of a shtick. But I'm like, game recognized game. If you're out there making millions on You Might Be a Redneck If, go do it.
Right.
Like, who cares? That's, I mean, more power to him. And you can't deny that what he did and what he said was funny. And people don't realize he was so much more of a comic than that. That's just what made him. Mm-hmm. Like Larry the Cable Guy, that dude's like really intelligent and smart and funny. But, you know, he found a gimmick and he stuck with it, and more power to him. I'm not going to judge. Somebody asked me, would I sell out like Larry the Cable Guy, which I don't think it's selling out. I think it's just doing your thing. But would I like come up with a shtick and abandon what I do? Hell yeah, for that kind of money?
Mm-hmm.
In a heartbeat.
Dude got a national sponsorship from Prilosec just for being Larry the Cable Guy. When does that happen?
I went to go see him in Verizon, and it wasn't sold out. So, I mean, it just kind of depends. I went to see him, I want to say, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years ago, and it wasn't sold out. And it was at the Verizon Wireless Theater. Yeah.
Huh. Oh. So somebody said, y'all didn't talk about the late, great Bernie Mac. Bernie was a killer. Bernie was funny.
Yeah.
When he came out on Def Comedy Jam, I don't know if you guys remember this, but he came out on Def Comedy Jam, and it was notorious for being rough crowds. Like, you couldn't come out and be timid or whatever. And he came out, and they had been booing the previous comic, but he comes out, and he just looks at him. He's like, I ain't scared of you, mother ble-. And then they lost it, and he had them, and it was one of the best sets you'll ever see after that, too. But, yeah, Bernie was really funny. And somebody said, OU Mike said, okay, ban the texter that said Sinbad was funny. So we're caught up now.
What about Cedric the Entertainer?
I like him. I love Kings of Comedy. I think if you watch that whole show and you can't enjoy that, to me, you just don't like comedy because it is some of the funniest stuff. You know, it's that different perspectives, like Steve Harvey talking about the church and the lady singing and all of it's great. All of it.
Yeah, I'm a big – Charles Barkley calls him Seti Bear, I always thought was funny. But Cedric the Entertainer was another one I always thought was funny and kind of underrated. Chuck wants to get in here. Chuck wants to tell us about his top three comedians. Chuck, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
How's it going, brother?
Oh, man, pretty good. I just wanted to run these are my top three as far as comedy albums. You got Eddie Murphy, Raw. You got Chris Rock, Bring the Pain. And then Bill Burr, All You People Are the Same. And special shout out to Greg Giraldo. He's not with us anymore, but
you
ever watch some of the Comedy Central roast? Oh my God!
Dude. Who was the third
Greg
one?
Giraldo
Chuck
Giraldo murdered people.
Yeah, Giraldo's a beast, dude.
Who was your third one?
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr. All You People Are the Same.
Okay. See, and Barry, you said Bill Burr too, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm not familiar with him, but I will be.
If you haven't seen that, YouTube, all you people are the same, and some of the bits out of it, dude, you'll be on the floor laughing.
I was going to say, I'm not familiar, but I will be. That you both are giving him high marks, so I'm going to check it out.
But that's all I got to say, fellas. Y'all keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck. Have a good one, brother.
Hey, I saw you catching some heat on Twitter about your Beaumont. Richard Stites getting on you, taking passive-aggressive shots at Beaumont.
Shocker.
Well, he tried to say all three of us.
Right.
He tried to say all three of us, but Nick was very quick to say, no, that was Joel.
Yep.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. As Barry would say, you want to back the bus up and take it over me again?
There it goes.
I did it. There I did it on the air and on Twitter this time.
That's fine.
I fully admit.
That's fine, but I didn't take a shot. I just said, if anybody... I take more shots from the 409 than anybody, so I'm fine with that. And taking shots from Richard has been like par for the course since we started this whole thing, so it's good. I'm fine with it. I can handle it. I'm just saying, man.
I love that you sound so whiny right now.
Hey, on that note, I want to tell you all about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It is a fantastic program in the Houston area, and it's provided by Houstonians the ability to help kids trying to get a second chance at an education in the Houston area. It's a great program because simply all you are doing is getting rid of junk that you don't want anyway. I mean, you look around, whether it's in the garage or in your backyard or in the driveway, you got a clunker that's collecting dust and rust. You've been meaning to get rid of it. You haven't gotten around to it, and it's an eyesore. Well, all you got to do is get in touch with Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. They come to you. They do the rest. They take care of it. They tow it away. They give you they do all the paperwork, give you a nice tax deduction. You mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card, and that's when the process really begins. Because then they take your donation, and they turn it into resources for kids trying to get an education. It could be book money. It could be eyeglasses. It could be bus fare. It could be warm meals or so many more other options. But the fact of the matter is it'll be taken care of because of your donation. So if you have a donation and you haven't gotten around to doing something with it, please pick up the phone and call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They'll do the rest. Again, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Barry, Nick, till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry's in OKC. We are in H-Town. Barry, it's a scorcher here today, so whatever you've been dealing with, the rain is gone, the humidity is up, and it is not cool in Houston, Texas.
No?
No. Mm-mm. Just letting you know the weather.
Yeah, it's hot here, no doubt. I went for a run yesterday after the show, and I don't remember it being that hot in Houston as of late. It was stifling. Like, I didn't even get 3.5 miles. And I'm usually okay. I can run in the heat and get 4 in, no problem. Now, the hills didn't help. I tell you what, running on a hill makes you feel like you're running with a person on your back sometimes. It's a struggle. So you add that in the heat, and I didn't do too well. And then I ran this route that it ended up just being a dead end. So I was like, damn it, now I got to go all the way back, and this adds to, I just was ready to be done. So, yeah, it's hot here too, but I was looking at my my weather, what's it called? I have a little weather station at my house, like on my roof, where it does like the rain and temperature and all that.
At the farm?
And it says it's 103. Is it that hot right now?
They said the feels like temperature is going to be that hot. I don't think the actual temperature is that hot, but it's thick out there. I can tell you that.
Damn that.
Yeah. You guys would be proud of me last night. There was nothing on TV. The Astros had played. So after watching that series, Nick, what'd you say it was called?
The Defiant Ones.
The Defiant Ones. I was flipping channels, and I came across one of the movies that every time it's on, I got to watch it. But I watched Good Will Hunting again. God, awesome
great movie.
Just love it.
One of the best. Just a classic. Just a really, really good movie. One of my favorite Matt Damon movies for sure. And I know Ben Affleck and a bunch of other guys were in it, but and Robin Williams, but one of my favorite Matt Damon movies.
Yeah,
for
I love
sure.
that movie. It's a good movie. Enjoyed it.
I've only seen it once. I don't remember a lot of it. But, you know, I have such a horrible memory that I don't remember. Like, people are always throwing movie lines around and stuff. I'm just not that guy. I know, like, a handful of lines that stuck out to me, but I know I've seen Good Will Hunting, and I would remember it if I watched it again, but I couldn't tell you a single line, scene, or anything from that movie.
How about them apples? You like apples? Oh, how about them apples?
Okay, that was Good Will Hunting. Yeah, I remember that.
But I'm with you. I mean, the fact of the matter, there's a huge difference between having a memory for movies and having the lines. Like, Lisa's brother Mike can recite every line to every movie for the last 25 years, and I always just look at him and go, I'm out. I don't know which movie you're pulling from there, but I think it's awesome that they can do it. But I do remember movies, and like you, a lot of times too, when I turn a movie on, I can already go, oh no, now it's coming back to me. I remember this. But Nick, you're spot on. I mean, from the acting to the storyline to the fact that when you think about the whole story and the premise of the story, it was both Matt Damon and Ben Affleck wrote that from their experiences, and that was their first foray into acting and screenwriting, and they won the Academy Award for it. That's pretty amazing.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. And to me, what was genius alone was the fact that they made a janitor this unbelievable mathematician, this guy that's so incredibly intelligent, but is viewed as just some guy who, you know, just like a blue collar guy that's never going to go anywhere kind of perception, you know. And so that's the reason why I thought was one of the most amazing parts of that movie was that you see this blue collar guy making, of course, any type of guy that's, you know.
Well, you're pulling for the underdog.
Yeah, always. It's always a good movie when you're pulling. Not always a good movie, but it's always a good angle or a good approach when you're pulling for the underdog.
Yep. Good storyline.
Hey, NASCAR Johnny said his car says 106 by the Galleria.
I'm telling you, dude, it's toasty.
See, my iPhone says 96, but I don't trust that weather app on iPhones, man. It's always like,
yeah, I never have.
It's
either.
Always like 5-10 degrees off or like an hour off. Like, it's just
but
delayed.
If you're sitting down and you got it in your back pocket and you have gas, it could be 115.
I do not have gas, so my phone is not 115
okay,
degrees.
Just checking.
Just saying.
Right. Hey, Joel, you like coffee, right?
Yep.
Okay. Nick, you're a coffee drinker.
Yep.
So this coffee company has to recall a bunch of their coffee because, and I'm quoting from the article here, this is Best Thurbs Coffee LLC is voluntarily recalling a number of its coffee after it was discovered one of its ingredients is, quote, structurally similar to sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra, according to an FDA recall notice. These dudes are out there selling coffee, making dudes horny in the morning, and now they're recalling it. I wouldn't be recalling
it. Doubling the dose. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'd be charging more and getting the word out. You kidding me? But it said, like, while the coffee is marketed as a male enhancement drink, the combination of sildenafil with other drugs can be dangerous with those with high blood pressure. Plus, there's milk in it. So some undeclared milk ingredient. So that milk allergies might be an issue. But it's sold online. So I don't know if you can still get some of the, quote, tainted coffee, but might not be a bad idea.
Dude, think about drink that. I mean, seriously, and all the different marketing slogans.
I mean, not that I need any help in the morning. I'm ready to go, but still.
I mean, Java jacked?
No.
Come on.
I'm waiting. First person to make a cream in your coffee joke, I am slapping the hell out of.
It's coming.
I'm just going to
text. Oh, yeah. Nick, look what you just did.
It's probably on the text line.
Damn it, Nick.
Already.
I think, yeah.
Did Nick catch what Nick just did?
Yeah, I caught what you
said. Okay. I'm just saying.
Did you just ask Nick in third person, did Nick catch what Nick just did?
Yes, I did. I kind of asked you in passing and also Nick if he caught what he said, which was clever.
Hey, this question came in. What are your guys' favorite national sports show? First Take, PTI, Colin Cowherd. Can I go first?
Sure.
Can I go first?
Yes.
Sure. None. That's easy for me. I don't watch any of
those.
But
if you had to rank them, Barry.
I would not. I would ask for a different question. I don't like those shows. Those piss me off. I think they're just over the top for the sake of being over the top.
I think the argumentative pot-stirring shows have seen their day. I'm tired of Skip Bayless just saying things and throwing things out there just to rile people up. I'm tired of screaming A. Smith. You know,
the herd.
No, I can't stand him. I'm glad he got rid of Nick Wright, but I can't stand him. And Nick Wright's now going to have his own show from New York with Chris Carter.
Yeah, I was going to say it's both of their shows. Is it his own show with Chris Carter or
no? It's with Chris Carter. I'll say this: does 30 for 30s count?
I don't think so.
No.
That's kind of a different category.
It's well, I love the 30 for 30s. That's I'll go with that show. All day. It is a sports show.
No, like a
like
sports
a live
talk
broadcast.
Show.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go Sports right. Center for a live broadcast because I still want to just because.
No, that's not the question. Sports talk show.
Oh, you said talk show now. All right.
Yeah.
I just don't watch enough of them, but if you just do straight talk shows, I really am a fan of Rich Eisen, and I think he does a great job. But Rich Eisen okay. and Dan Patrick do good shows.
I'd say Boomer and Carton out in New York. I really yep. like the Carton guy. I think he's witty. He's really funny. He's on point. I think Boomer could probably contribute a little bit more, but Carton, I'm a big fan of what he does.
Okay.
I probably need to watch more of these since, you know, it's our business.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't. It's just like it's almost like watching comedy. I don't watch a lot of comedy anymore because, one, I don't want to steal ideas. Two, whether subconsciously or consciously. And, two, you just kind of – once that's – it's almost like I don't want to work at Pizza Hut and then go home and pop in a Totino's pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, I watch sports, but I don't like to watch other people talk about it since I'm already doing that.
And most of the time I don't watch.
Plus, they're annoying.
I kind of catch them on clips now, isn't that – I mean, that's what I feel like most people do. I just catch a lot of their clips on Twitter or Facebook. I'm not watching their entire
canal, and then I changed my mind.
Somebody said highly questionable.
It's an okay show. I mean,
Jeff Barnes said that highly questionable. I've never watched it.
Me either.
And then we're having people bringing up the dude that committed suicide. I forget his name.
From Lincoln Park.
And OJ getting out. And OJ getting out and asking about Astros trades and all stuff we covered in hour one.
Thanks for listening. Podcasts are available.
That's right.
Well, just throwing it out there. It's a great way to catch up with the show. If you missed any part of the show, you can always go to Podcast Arena and catch the podcast. And, of course, you can take us anywhere, both home and road, and anywhere in between. If you just download the app, ESPN975.com, download the app and also listen live while you're at your computer at work. It's a great way to stay connected with us all day long. How about that?
The app is a great way to not have to listen to Spanish music, if you know what I'm saying. Audio wink.
He did it, Nick, not me.
He's going to be angry.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I'm tired of reading the text about it. Yeah. We get 1,000 texts about it every hour. So that was my subtle way of doing it, of addressing them all at once.
So subtle. So smooth.
Thank you.
Just like sandpaper. Okay, we got two in the books, one to go, plenty more show. So continue to participate as you always do. The suspects are always great, but hit us up on Twitter or give us a call on the HR&P listener line at 713-780-3776. Chuck did it. You can do it too. You can call, you can text, and we can definitely get into things that are on your mind as well as stuff that we still have on ours. We'll be back with more of the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. Turn around.